time then in Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. All right, as we continue in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, we have finished in chapter 6 up through verse 18. So we're in verses 19 through 24 this evening. Look with me as I read aloud Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. And this is what God's Word says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Hey, you know, as we as Christians, we're often, you know, disgusted when we see a world that is full of idols and superstitions and pagan practices. I sometimes see these things and like, how can anybody ever get involved in this? How do they fall into this trap? I was even talking with Mick Hall earlier today as we were walking, and we were talking about people who they fall into this cult where they all say, you know what, we're going to drink this poison and die. And you're sitting there going, how do you even get in that? How do you even fall for that? But did it ever occur to you that as Christians, we also are often guilty of idolatry? Now, you may say, no, not me. But actually, it can take various forms. One of the most common would be materialism. If we have fallen into this trap of materialism and we don't even realize it sometime today, and you might be asking, how is materialism idolatry? Well, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, covetousness, which is idolatry. And so we have to be careful as we greed after things, and it can rise to the point of idolatry. Materialism is very subtle. It creeps in to almost, in my opinion, probably almost every Christian in our country. It's very subtle. It's sneaky. We've become very much victims of a materialistic society. And now I would assume that no one in the audience in here, we would say, you know what, we can't allow anything to come between us and God. But how often does that actually happen? Or where our possessions or pursuits and pleasures tend to become idols even when we don't realize it. It's on this problem really that I think is our topic tonight. The idea of materialism that has almost become a point of idolatry. As some would say, you know what, I can tune out the world's goods and I can live without it. And then we find ourselves often struggling. You see, even I would argue a lot of poor people even struggle from idolatry. I remember as I would give our church in North Carolina, we would do at Thanksgiving time, we would send out boxes. We would talk to the local rescue mission, and we'd send out boxes with all kinds of goods in it and canned turkey and stuff, and we would send that out. We'd do it again at Christmas. And we'd go to these houses and these people who were very poor, and we'd go in, and I'd be like, they have nicer TVs and phones than I have. You see, it's just an epidemic. We're materialistic. We want the nicest stuff. We want the greatest things. And we can rise to a level of idolatry. As we look here today, Matthew 6 is going to speak of this. By way of background, Matthew 6 and even in 5 has really been talking about a false external righteousness, namely as the Jewish Pharisees and religious leaders, they would really would have this problem of the external righteousness, and they didn't have the internal righteousness. Or where Jesus has been saying, look, there's a difference. There's a matter of the heart. The Pharisees were very rich, or often were, and they would look at it and say the signs of you being right with God was how God has blessed you, and namely, one of them was riches. If you had much, it meant that you were rich because of God blessing you. You were right with the Lord. So they said, I am obedient to God, obviously, because I have so much. And so they were very proud of their wealth, and they would display it. They would have big feasts and many ways that people would see how wealthy they were. However, this instead is actually worldliness. Materialism is a worldly problem. It is an attitude that neglects Christ. Wealth, possessions, and money are not wrong in themselves, so don't leave here saying, Pastor says it's wrong to have money. That's not at all what I'm saying. But the Bible tells us as Christians how to use what we have been blessed with, as opposed to how to abuse it. There is a wrongness of in the attitude we have towards material things. There is a wrongness in the attitude towards wealth. So again, I'm not saying that God is against anybody having money. In fact, we would know that material blessings are given from God. Deuteronomy 8:18 had shared that. God had blessed Abraham, he had blessed Job, he had blessed David. And so there is no secret in that regards that God does bless at times. We are even told that we are to take care of our families. It says in 1 Timothy 5:8 that those who don't take care of their families are worse than the infidels. And so there is some aspect that you need money, you are to take care of others. And so what does God then oppose? He what we see today is he opposes an attitude that excludes Christ from the equation. That says, you know, I can have God and I can have my material possessions or my wealth, and they're two separate areas. And we are possessive or obsessive about our wealth. And this is what we need to look at today. So we begin in verse 19 and 20, and we need to see that our possessions should be used for God. Look again in verse 19 and 20. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. What we have here, Jesus gives a negative command about selfish hoarding of material things on earth. And he begins with that, the negative here. Remember, as he's speaking to Christians, he's speaking to disciples, those who belong to the kingdom of God, and those who have accepted or experienced a new birth. This is who he's speaking to. And what he says is, don't lay up for yourselves, he says, where moth and rust destroy. The word rust literally means eating. The word corrupt means to remove. It's significant because in this day, they didn't have banks like we have today. They didn't have these big vaults that they could put all of their treasures in, or a well-defined financial system where you could track all of your money all of the time on your phone even. Wealth was determined really by having expensive clothing, where you had possessions of grains and cattle. Think of that rich man who was so rich he would tear down barns and build bigger barns, okay? Their wealth was within their clothes, within their grain, within their animals, as well as jewels and precious metals that were often buried inside of walls in the home. And so what would happen is all of their material possessions could be eaten. They could, like the clothes or the food, and somebody could come in and steal and tear out the walls and get their possessions. All of this stuff could happen. So really, somebody could be wealthy today and tomorrow they would lose everything. What is Christ saying? He's saying that your earthly wealth is temporary. It's passing away. He's saying the financial and material wealth is never a secure or certain thing. You can lose it quickly. It reminds me of what happened not too long ago, where I was getting curious. I'm like, you know, these Bitcoins keep going up. Maybe I need to invest in Bitcoin. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden those Bitcoins tanked. I'm glad I never put a dime into Bitcoins. But how many people lost millions or perhaps billions overnight? And you see, if everything is put into the material side, he's saying you can lose everything just like that. Therefore, we are not to selfishly hoard up our money, for we can't even take it with us. There's a constant threat that it can be stolen, a constant threat that it's going to be gone, whether it's through businesses lost or illness or war or inflation or who knows, even death. You know, some people, by way of illustration, some people try to make this verse say that Christians should have no earthly security at all. Friends, that's not what it's saying, okay? That isn't a right interpretation. It doesn't mean it's wrong to have a bank account or a retirement fund or insurance that you've put into. But the point is that money is not the driving force of our life. That's not what we live for. We are not to find security in money. And what does it say in verse 20? It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And as we look through here, now we move from the negative to the positive. It's a command here, really saying, Christians, you should be more concerned with spiritually and heavenly things than we are material things. Now, this is nothing new to us, I'm sure. The great thrust of our Christian life is to glorify God, to live for Him. But it also means, as Christians, we should use our earthly treasures as an investment, if you would, or seeking spiritual means. How can this be used for the glory of God? How can this be used for heavenly purposes? Because there, the rewards, the riches are unperishing. You may ask, what I kept for myself, I lost. What I gave God, I kept. Someone else wisely said, it's much more wonderful for men to give their money while they are alive than to have it contested after they die. How many families are destroyed in fighting over inheritance? In light of this verse, how important is it to put all of our monies in places that are true to the gospel, that are true to the gospel of Christ? And so the first thing we see is possessions should be used for God. Secondly, possessions, though, can also be, if you would, a spiritual thermometer. Look at verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus, he gives us really an explanation of what he means by treasure. The treasure here is, what does the person desire the most? What is their aim in life? Where is their heart? As we've been speaking of heart issues, if our aim is earthly, our heart is set on earthly, worldly things. If our aim is heavenly, that's where our heart is. What a man does in their life tells what a man is. Again, it has been said that a man's interests are where his investments are. If a person has a Christ-centered attitude, even on material things, then when God blesses, he is happy. But if a man is obsessed and possessed by material things, that man, especially when they lose things, will be unhappy and they miss the blessings of God. Martin Luther once said, whatever your heart clings to and relies on is your God. It's idolatry. You see, materialism can really have a grip on someone's life. You ever seen this change in people at times? And maybe it's subtle, maybe it's slow, and over time that it grows and it gets bigger, and then it becomes more obvious. Especially as we succeed and prosper, there is a danger that we then start becoming very materialistic. And we become hard or cynical, maybe even indifferent to Christ, saying, look what I've accomplished, look what I have done, I am self-sufficient, and almost to the point where we don't need God. And so we have this, not only the possessions that are to be used for God, but they can also be a spiritual thermometer. It tells us where we're at. Is my aim all on materialism, or is my aim to glorify God? Thirdly, possessions can really distort our spiritual goals. Look at verse number 22 and 23. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Possessions can distort our spiritual goals. In Christ, he really used this illustration. At first, it doesn't seem to fit. We sit there and say, it doesn't quite line up here. We're talking about possessions, and then it talks about light and darkness, and then it gets back down to material possessions again. How does this matter? Well, he's using an illustration that shows a distorted vision in our relationship to God and material things. The eye, or the single eye, is healthy. And if our eyes are healthy, we can see clearly. In a very real sense, then, our bodies are full of light. All right? Healthy eyes can see. The view of life we have, then, depends on our spiritual eye. Think of it this way. If it is the diseased eye, if it's distorted by a materialistic outlook, everything we'll see is out of place. Everything is dark. There is wrong. We are concerned with money and possessions. And so what he's getting at, it depends on what kind of eye you have. Your spiritual vision is distorted if you are trying to keep your eye on earthly treasure. It's dark. You're not seeing the light. But your vision is clear when you are focused on heavenly things. You see, materialism dulls the mind. And materialism keeps us from thinking clearly about God's word. It keeps us from thinking clearly about who God is and how to live for him. It comes to the point where we start rationalizing our desires and our lusts. You know, if I just have this, I will be happy. If I just have this, people will respect me and things will be good. We focus on ourselves rather than on the Lord. We look and say, you know, if I can just have a life of ease and material comforts, all will be good. And we forget Christ. You see the danger here? Often, even as Christians, we might recoil and pull back and be shocked at somebody who says, you know, I don't need God. I have everything I need. In reality, though, we are very much in danger of this, even if we don't even realize we're saying it. And what's worse is when somebody thinks, because of all of our possessions, that I am godly. That's what the Pharisees here thought. The man who thinks he is godly because of what he has been blessed with is somebody who is woefully ignorant. When we live for earthly things. Then in verse 24, we also see, what's the danger then? The danger is our possessions can become our master. Look what verse 24 says. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so the second illustration now that he gives, he had just spoken an illustration of the eye and considering the eye and the health of the eye. But now this illustration is dealing with the relationship to God and material things. And it's a relationship of slavery. The word serve, as you cannot serve two masters, is literally a slave. You cannot be a slave to two masters. You can only be a slave to one. It's either God or it's material possessions. In the context here, perhaps your translation says mammon. Mammon is another word for riches. It's either God or riches, God or material possessions. It's one or the other that you belong to. And these two masters are so different that you cannot love both. It's impossible to love both. Because a master demands all of your attention, all of your service. You are either a slave to one or the other. And each one controls your life in a different way. You cannot serve God in riches. And so what do you serve will show what you really love. The point is that man, he has to make a choice. Will I put God first? Or am I going to trust in whatever material things come my way? Will I put materialism first and God will be left out of the picture, or will God be my focus? You see, a person who loves money will do anything to get it. All kinds of evil can come as a result of a lust for money. I want to give you an illustration and let you know that it is actually quite possible to serve God and have much wealth. Believe it or not, that is possible. There was a story of one of the richest Christians, both spiritually and materialistically. They were very rich in what they had. It was a story of Mr. and Mrs. Fred McManus. They lived in Houston, Texas. Both the McManuses, they were multimillionaires, but they put God first in their lives. Mr. McManus has said he would give an hour a day for Bible study and prayer, and yet when all of those, the big wigs, if you will, the very important people of Wall Street, they still couldn't bother him because he would say, I am with the King. And so what did he do? Well, he was a faithful witness for the Lord. He actually gave much of his money to the Lord's work. The story tells that he and his wife put over 500 men through Bible school who went to the mission field. Many became recipients of the monies to go to seminary and prepare for the ministry. Christian social organizations and colleges received great sums of money from the McManuses. The more they gave, it seemed, the more the Lord blessed. Now, I'm not sharing this part to say that if you give a ton, you'll get a ton, okay? That I'm not saying that's how things work. Wouldn't that be nice? If I gave 100, I'd get 1,000 back. Anyways, that's just don't think that I'm saying that by this. But that for them, that's what seemed to happen. They were actually so faithful to Christ that one time they had given $1 million to a large church that they went to and attended. But soon after, Mrs. McManus, she was at the age of 78. I think her husband had already passed away. She walked out of that church, never to come back, because they started preaching a different gospel. They left the gospel of the Bible. They had given $1 million to them, and when they left the faithfulness of God's word, they left the church, or she left the church. You see, it is possible to have great wealth and not be materialistic. It is possible to have many possessions and to serve God and glorify God. What are we getting at? Are you a Christian who's laying up treasures in heaven or treasures in earth? Really, there are several ways that you can look at this question. First, how did you gain your possessions? Were they gained honestly or dishonestly? Did you deliberately destroy others for your personal gain? But then there's a second question you can ask if you're trying to determine, am I living right in regards to my possessions? The second one is, how do you use your possessions? Do you seek to serve the Lord? Do you sit there and say, God, this is yours. This is used for your glory. God, I want to use this however you see fit. My father-in-law liked to share how he would look at things in the palm of your hand. It's sitting there, but God, it's okay if you take it, rather than with a closed fist. Open. God, it's yours. You know, that it could be money. It could be that. It could be vehicles. You know, one of the things I've learned from both my dad and many others, last year, beginning of the year, our family bought a car. And I learned this from others. This wasn't originally me. It's praying, God, use this for your glory. Now, I love that car. Don't get me wrong. First time I ever bought a new car. Hey, you know, we call it the Firebolt, or at least I do. It's usually just called the Elantra, but I call it a Firebolt. I love that car. But my prayer was, God, don't let this become an idol. Use it for your glory. That's my great fear, is that it'll become an idol of mine. See, how do we use our possessions? And then finally, what is your attitude towards material things? Is your goal and your aim in life, are we obsessed with possessions? Are we obsessed with gaining things? You know, if we are, we can say then that we are a Christian idolater, and God hates idolatry. So we need to have a proper view of all that we have been given. As it said, I read again, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Friends, it's a well-known topic. I've spoken on it before. I don't think I'm preaching anything new tonight, but it's worth a reminder in our lives to have a right focus with all that God has given to us. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for a reminder. How often, Lord, we can let things creep in. And over time, Lord, it gets to a point of something in our lives, even as simple as material things that we don't even realize has become an idol. So thank you for this reminder in your word, Lord, for us to examine ourselves, consider our heart as it comes towards possessions and money. Lord, sticky topics, difficult things, as we often consider, this is mine, I've earned this, I deserve this. Lord, may we consider who you are and how we can use what you've given to us for your glory. So thank you for this reminder and the opportunity to examine our motives and desires. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, let's take a moment. We have some time here. Let's.